This is Cradle My Heart Radio with your host, Kim Cotola. Cradle My Heart Radio, preventing abortion and helping those it hurts.
This is where the healing begins. Oh, this is where the healing starts. When you come to where you're broken within, the light meets the dark. The light meets the dark.
And now, Kim Cotola and Cradle My Heart Radio.
And this is going to be a special one because we're going to be able to share a story with you of someone who chose abortion and who has abortion experiences and hear what happened before and where God stepped in and where life is now for our guest, Ann Taylor. Ann wrote a series of articles for Live Action News a number of years ago about why she's in favor of defunding Planned Parenthood and how she became pro-life. And she's been active and vocal about her story for quite some time now. And Ann, in my experience, that is rare. There are so many women impacted by abortion, but so few who are willing to share their story. So I applaud you for that. And it's just a real joy to welcome you to Cradle My Heart Radio.
Thank you, Kim. I really appreciate the opportunity and for sharing this experience because it has profoundly impacted my life and the lives of others, and hope to bring or shed some light on that there is healing at the end of this road and that it's never ending. There's so many layers to it, and I can speak from experience, and I'm pretty sure that I'm not the only one.
We know you and I are not the only ones. And I know that, and you know, I've said this before on the program, that I think every abortion decision reflects a separate need of the heart. There's no one abortion story. One size does not fit all. In fact, mm-hmm. I think every story that I've heard is very, very different.
Yes.
You know, whether it would be, well, just for a lot of different reasons. But there's so much that we do share in common because it's always a spiritual problem and it's always a matter mm-hmm. of the heart. So mm-hmm. tell us about how you became pro-life. Maybe that's a good place to start our conversation.
Well, I think where it started was really at had a pretty tumultuous relationship with my late husband. And prior to when we first had met, we hadn't been together very long and found out I was pregnant, went to Planned Parenthood, had an abortion. It was extremely traumatic. It's just very traumatic and wasn't really fully discussed afterwards. It was just something that you wanted to forget about and, or that I wanted to forget about. Everybody wanted to forget about it. And, not too long after, about 6 months later, I had my, had given birth to my child who is now 17. And, it was just the joy of our lives. I mean, after a while, you think you're going to forget about it. Well, I've had my child now. Isn't this beautiful? But about a year and a half later, found out I was pregnant again. Did have some medical complications that were eventually explained. But in the meantime, abortion was encouraged, and it was performed at a hospital here in Minneapolis. And granted, the surroundings were, quote-unquote, safe in that sense. But it's, as we know, Kim, abortion is never safe, either physically or emotionally, mentally. It comes with a lot of challenges. And it wasn't until a number of years later, my now husband, my new wife now, my 17-year-old daughter was probably about 8 to 10 years old, maybe 8 or 9 years old at that time. And my husband and I were sitting on the couch, and we were watching Fox News with Bill O'Reilly. And here comes Abby Johnson, because there was a lot of hype back in 2010 starting to come out about Planned Parenthood and a lot of unraveling. And I credit Abby Johnson for that, for being extremely vocal because of her experiences in working at Planned Parenthood. She was the director in Texas, one of the bigger Planned Parenthood places. And that for the first time in my life, I mean, I carried around and harbored so much hurt and pain and wanted to forget about the past and stuff that away. But when Abby Johnson came on the air and started telling her story that she was married, that she had two abortions herself, that she fell to the deceit and the lies that Planned Parenthood, that came from Planned Parenthood and that comes with abortion, the tears just rolled down my face. And I thought to myself, my God, for the first time, here's a woman saying that she was married and had two abortions. And I knew then in that moment that I wasn't alone. And that profoundly changed a lot of things for me.
You know, and I hear you say more than once, married and had an abortion. And I think for women who don't really fit, you know, the profile or the stereotype of who has an abortion. I mean, there's a stereotype view that it's poor women, maybe women of color, women who are, you know, teens, people who don't have any direction or means or stability in life, right?
Exactly.
I think that's the stereotype. Nothing could be further from the truth. It's in the launch phase that women are choosing abortion in our early 20s. And women choose abortion to protect, I think it's a middle class income insurance policy. I mean, I think if the parents of young middle class women decided that they would do better for their daughters than, you know, promote abortion to them, I think we would see abortion end tomorrow. And that's not an indictment of my parents. That's just a situation as I read it, as I listen to more and more and more stories. There's just a lack of social support. But it seems as though for you, one of the big spiritual challenges is that the fact that you were married meant that this was a very poor choice for you. Tell us a little bit more about that.
And Christian, raised Catholic. I mean, you know, and actually statistically, those numbers are higher among Christian women to have an abortion. So I really carried this shame and guilt. And, you know, it was in the moment of when my husband passed away. He was addicted to prescription pain medication, which finally in the media is getting a lot of attention. But this has been going on for a long, long time. You know, I didn't see the warning signs or the red flags, and then the ones that I did see, I tried to push away, and there was always a reason or an excuse. So when he, you know, chose to overdose and take his life, I was left with, not only did he make his choice, but we together as a married couple had made choices as well in choosing to end the lives of our children. And it got harder as time went on, because in my mind, it's a fact, it's a reality. There is always going to be a child before my now 17-year-old, and there's always one right after her. And as time has gone on, and she and I have had discussions about this, she's always felt like, before I came out and started sharing my story, and she had always felt like, yeah, there's somebody else there. I knew I wasn't the only one. And when I've talked to women who have been married, and who maybe a couple has chosen abortion, this isn't uncommon. And the children grow up and they know, they sense that there's something or someone else there. There's something off. There's even been studies done about that, you know, where the first child is born and the characteristics, and the middle child and maybe the last child and the certain characteristics that associate with that. I found to be pretty tale-telling. But the shame and the guilt harboring all of that. And, you know, I felt guilty for it, for one thing, knowing that the church is forgiving, knowing that there are people out there that are loving and forgiving, it was hard for me to want to step foot back in there. And I did it in kind of a backwards way. In reading Abby Johnson's book, I learned that there's more to tell here, and that I had to share my story. I sat down one night and I just started brainstorming. I did go through live action, started getting on social media and Facebook, and that was kind of when people started getting on social media and finding one another after years of being separated, and isn't this the great thing? Well, it opened up so many other avenues of organizations pro-life organizations, especially, and a lot of stories from women. So it opened up that door to a lot of healing and knowing that there is love and forgiveness. It's a matter of when we're ready to take that on ourselves.
Mm. Ann Taylor is our guest, and she and her current husband work in residential real estate, and they are parents to three children. And Ann, as we think about the fact that you were a person of faith when you had these abortion experiences, as you said, you sort of stepped backwards back into your faith.
Yeah.
Tell me more about that.
In a way. I know that sounds kind of strange to say. I stepped back into it. You know, it's different when you make the commitment. You can say, yeah, I'm a faithful person. Sure, life begins. Well, but there's exceptions. Well, how impacted has that been by society and changing that and making you think that these excuses are okay? Well, you know, I had a really bad experience with Planned Parenthood, not doing that again. Well, but the medical thing, okay, that's excusable. But the pressure, and at the same time, the social pressure is what I'm speaking to. But then when you really go back into your faith and step into that, there's a whole other avenue of trust, of belief, that this is a soul, this is a life. And after birthing one child, and I now have a 5-year-old to my current husband, we share together. And those two experiences, you, especially this last birth, my gosh, it's even in the womb, it's different. They're different. They've got different personalities. Even the images that come across on the screen, the x-rays now are much more detailed than maybe 17, 20, 30 years ago, are so much more detailed. And those fine, tiny little features are so real. When my last child came out, and I mean, I could see those features right away. That's what they look like. They carry their own individual personalities, and that's so special. And it's something that I think society hasn't really celebrated. I mean, science celebrates it in the sense of each being has its own new DNA. It's a life. It is a living, breathing life. And science supports that.
Ann Taylor is our guest here at Cradle My Heart Radio, and you can learn more about Ann's work at cradlemyheart.org. We'll have links for you there. And so, Ann, did you go through any kind of a healing recovery process? Was there a Bible study or a retreat or anything that you pursued to be able to feel comfortable being in church and being around people of faith, but having this now be known?
And this is the backwards part. really coming out and sharing the testimony and having that published was the first step. And what came after that, it took a couple years and then it got republished and started circulating the web. And then came the comment section. And there were a lot of people that were, not very open. I got a lot of comments. And I wasn't quite ready to handle that. And I kind of stepped away for it for a while. My healing journey had started again. I had this faith, but at the same time, I was like, well, you know, holistics, that should work. And I do believe in some forms of alternative healing, you know, acupuncture. But I think there are some other areas of healing that you have to be careful of because it could open you up to other things that maybe you're not ready for. And how to navigate that. So while there were some holistic things that I had done to heal that, nothing really left me fully in recovery until I went to church, being that I'm of Catholic faith, going before the priest and confessing your sins. And the amount of relief that I felt when I finally went, and it took me a long time to go and step foot back in the church, and I'd even step back into the church, but I still wasn't comfortable doing it. It was always kind of hanging over my head. And that was the part that you really have to trust. Once that I was able to confess that, I felt so free. I could trust that the Lord still loves me, will take me in, will forgive me, and can forgive anyone. And I think if anything, it gave me a greater voice to spread that, to spread the news that, you know, this is really hurting women. It's hurting families. It's hurting children. And not that they should be judged or, how do I want to say, because I've been told that I'm judging other women, which I think is interesting. How am I judging other women when I've had abortions myself? Really, just that knowing that, you know, women can be forgiven and that they can forgive themselves, and to let the Lord, you know, trust them, you know, trust in that and let the Lord guide them. I started getting involved more locally with some organizations here in Minnesota, Planned Parenthood. This location here in St. Paul, Minnesota, not far from our state capital, happens to be the third largest Planned Parenthood clinic in the United States of America. So it's pretty concerning, very concerning, actually. There's been a lot of scandal with the University of Minnesota. A lawsuit has been brought on them from the University of Minnesota for selling aborted baby body parts for science. They are not being taken care of or disposed of, if you will, properly buried the way that the law states that they should be in our state. And the selling of baby body parts is pretty rampant. It's happening everywhere, but we see it pretty close here in the state of Minnesota.
Mm. Well, Anne, so I want to just back up and let's go back to the comments that people were, you know, everyone feels free to do that behind the anonymity of their, wherever their desktop or wherever they're posting their comments, you know, on your personal testimony. And I'm guessing that based on my own experience, some of the worst comments come from people who identify as Christian.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Well, and on the web, I would have no idea. But where I got interesting comments, it came face-to-face after jumping ahead here a little bit. But after doing this and getting my feet wet, and I've been involved in a number of education initiatives here in the state of Minnesota as well, one of them being discovering that Planned Parenthood is, in fact, as of 2013, infiltrated into our public school system in grades K through 12. So they are now asking teachers in kindergarten, and Planned Parenthood was a part of this panel through Common Core, which a lot of people in the last couple of years have really been following very closely, the concern that comes with Common Core in our education system, the Fed Ed. And that was one of my other things that I was starting to discover was how is this in our schools, parents having rights to opt their child out, and it's not just sex ed curriculum, it's also being found in our English classes. Maybe it's an aside class that looks like a health class, but they're going to be talking about some other things. There's a number of issues, and Planned Parenthood was a part of that. So exposing surveys that were being performed in the classroom, particularly I found out in my child's classroom, asking questions of sexual nature that may not be, that in my opinion, is not appropriate. And I think developmentally a lot of parents would agree that that these are not appropriate questions, and how that information is collected on that child and their families, and that the more that you introduce some of these things when it's not developmentally appropriate and not under the guise of a parent, or for that matter, under the guise of, say, a Christian family that believes that they are the ones to be the guiders of any discussion on human sexuality and relationships, that mm-hmm. they are the ones that should be doing this. So those were some things that really piqued my interest in 2016. So it's been about, oh my gosh, a year. I can't believe that. I think I'm spending like the last 6 months like in recovering my brain and body. I was asked to run for state house representative in my district, and that came with some interesting territory as well. Door knocking really what piqued my interest, because I ran on a Republican ticket, a lot of people had immediately stated that, well, you're running on that ticket, so, you know, you're pro-life, forget you. And I said, well, wait a minute. You know, I don't want to talk to you. That's what I got a lot, too. I don't want to talk to you because you're pro-life and you're running on a Republican ticket. And I said, well, hey. And I just put it out there very bluntly and back at them and say, I've had 2 abortions. Do you want to hear about them? Do you want to hear what it's like? And they were just stunned. Because I said, listen, I've had one at Planned Parenthood, and I had one at a hospital here in Minneapolis. And, you know, what about the safety of this? How safe is it for women? I do know that at our clinics here, the abortion clinics as well as the Planned Parenthood, there have been a number of ambulance visits. Because what happens is when a woman has an abortion at one of these clinics, these drive-by, it's like a McDonald's clinic, if you will, if something should happen during the procedure, there are no other options. If something serious comes up, an ambulance must be called and they have to be transported to a hospital. Now, how is that helping women? And a lot of people were really surprised to hear that, particularly men. Men didn't really put those two together. And I don't want to make it sound like an advocate of, well, Planned Parenthood and these other abortion centers are, you know, they're not good places, so it's safer to have them in a hospital. Well, right now, being that if abortion is legal in your state, that really is, unfortunately, the safer option. But what comes afterward, the physical complications that can arise, particularly the younger the girl is, the young woman, there's other complications that can come up that are not discussed. I don't think fully discussed, as well as the emotional and the mental. We should be lifting up our young women and supporting them. And I get so tired of hearing that because, you know, you're Republican, you're pro-life, you're not going to help the child once it comes into the world. Well, that's not true. There are so many resources that are not being tapped into that so many people don't know about.
And, you know, not only that, Anne, but that's so ingenuous because that is not a reason to kill children, because
exactly.
I'm not in favor of government support for this or
right.
that particular program as a pretext for killing children. It's absurd.
Right.
And, you know, I appreciate that what you're saying is, you know, okay, it's not just the problem that it exploits women, that it's harmful to women. It's that it's destroying the youngest members of the human family. Abortion is the intentional killing of an innocent human being, and therefore it's always morally wrong. And, you know, it's interesting to have that conversation with people because, you know, I'm sure you found as you were door knocking, and I'm sure, you know, we've experienced this with the anonymous commenters online too, some just will not hear, some will not see.
Mm-hmm.
Some are dedicated to their ideology or their philosophy or their politics.
I can say that I had saw so many women with tears in their eyes, and these were on the other side of the fence, if you will.
Right.
At the end of the day, we're really not on, we're all on the same side here. No one wants to do this. No woman wants to do this. Then why are we making this free? Why is this even an option? You know, I was told face-to-face a number of times, too, well, you've had 2 abortions, so no Christian people are going to forgive you. I've had nurses that hung their heads that said, you know, I am a nurse, and I saw what went on. They're not speaking of the clinics themselves, of what they've seen in hospitals and how these babies are disposed of. They've hung their heads in shame. They know what ramifications happen to these women. Why is nobody speaking up? And or the conversation would quickly switch over to another topic of choice. They wouldn't know how to answer it. So they'd move on to another topic.
So will you run again, do you think?
Right now I have taken a sort of vacation from it, if you will. And what I do appreciate from the support that I received is that it had given me a platform, and it was another opportunity. When I went door knocking and talked to people and shared this experience, they were more willing to listen, and it really gave me a sense of healing. If this is what God had called me to do, to go run and to share a little bit more of my story and help more people think about this, then what a great platform to step up to. I don't know if I'm going to run again. That's not something I've given much thought of, and trying to see where this will take me next. Where I'm supposed to be led, where God is going to lead me next, I don't know.
Well, Anne, I just really appreciate you sharing your story in such a candid way and in such a helpful way to encourage those who have not yet been led to speak publicly to see the value of it, to warn others, to help others to, you know, not make the same mistake that we made, and to be able to protect innocent unborn life. And I applaud you, and I hope that we'll get a chance to speak again in the future very soon. Thank you so much for being our guest.
Thank you, Kim. Appreciate the opportunity.
Now stay with us. We'll open the phones for your calls at 1-800-811-3003 coming up here on Cradle My Heart Radio.
A safe place to connect with others, finding God's love after abortion. This is Cradle My Heart Radio.
This is where the healing begins. Oh, this is where the healing starts. When you come to where you're broken with Him, the light meets the dark. The light meets the dark.
Cradle My Heart with Kim Cotola. Join the conversation. Call toll-free 800-811-3003. 800-811-3003.
Thank you so much for joining us for the live portion of Cradle My Heart Radio tonight. Our phones are open for you at 1-800-811-3003. And I would love to hear your reaction to Ann Taylor's story. She went to Planned Parenthood looking for adoption advice. She was in a new relationship, and the two of them agreed that would be best. The pregnancy could not be supported by the relationship at that point in time, but so they wanted to make an adoption plan. And instead, they were pretty much railroaded into an abortion. She later had another abortion under very different circumstances, but visited Planned Parenthood at that time as well. And it's a pretty strong indictment of her experiences there. I don't know if you want to share your experiences at that particular provider, or you have a story that's similar, or maybe you have a story that's not the same at all. But I would love to hear your reaction to what Anne has had to say. 1-800-811-3003. It's been very eye-opening to me as we have been presenting stories over these last 5 years here on Cradle My Heart Radio and in our blog and on our social media and listening to so many stories, how often the topic of trauma arises. And I think that's one of the reasons why some nights we don't get callers, and that's okay with me. I mean, all of this is submitted to God's hand and for His glory anyway. And I understand that there may be someone who is listening tonight because there's no possibility of opening her mouth to speak about this. She's simply holding on and listening for a note of hope. And I do want you to know that there's absolute confidentiality available to you and privacy if you would call and don't want to give your name, want to use an alias, or just remain anonymous. But as I understand from some listeners, not even hearing their own voice on the radio is an acceptable risk. So I do understand that. But please know that we welcome you, and you will not face our judgment here. What you will find here is the truth of God's love for you and the remedy for abortion, which is, you know, to connect with the truth of the humanity of your child. And I think that this so helps us to repent that abortion, place it in God's hands, and receive the forgiveness that Jesus Christ has already won for us at the cross. That's our purpose. So when we share these stories, Anne said that it was important to her to go back to her childhood faith, back to church, and confess to a priest. And I will say that that was not part of my journey, but the Bible, that going to a Catholic church and confessing to a priest specifically, but the Bible tells us that when we confess to one another, we are healed. you'll find those verses in the Epistle of James. And I think that there is an extra layer of healing when we share this with a pastor or with a priest, depending upon, you know, who our spiritual authority is. I don't understand exactly why that is so. I mean, after my abortion, I did share it with one or two very trusted individuals who reassured me that they loved me, and they reassured me that I didn't really have any choice and I did the best I could. Of course, that doesn't really satisfy the guilty conscience. The guilty conscience needs to hear, you are correct, a life was lost, and you need to be accountable for your part in it, not completely condemning yourself, as my impulses had taken me at one point in the journey after abortion, not completely blaming others, as in my anger and hurt, I also did at another point along the journey, but taking ability for my role in it. And it's very difficult to do, I think, outside of a structured group setting somehow, whether it would be a retreat or a Bible study or one of the other after-abortion outreach efforts that are so well structured to help us do this, to help us fully process the story and really lead to our healing. And part of that, too, for me, again, I needed to know that there's that my theology was sound. I needed to hear from a pastor that it's true, that the doctrine of forgiveness is true and meant for me personally. And I don't know if that was a quirk of mine spiritually, or if this is something that all of us need as individuals when there's been such an overwhelming experience as abortion can be in the lives of the women who choose it or who have it chosen for them. Tell me what you think about that. 1-800-811-3003. Was it important to you to confess to an authority figure, a pastor, a priest? 1-800-811-3003. And was that a positive experience? You know, not everyone has a positive experience when they will share that. Sometimes there's a pastor or a priest, particularly if it was years and years ago, who may have made judging comments, who may have indicated that this was a special sin that was above God's grace. What's your experience been with that? I think it's very helpful for us to share that with one another. And this is really the reason why we want you healed, so that you can share your story and warn others about the dangers of abortion, so that you'll be free to speak and save others the heartbreak that you may have suffered. And I'm here to tell you that it's possible, and I'm here to tell you that God loves you and that Jesus Christ died for that too. 1-800-811-3003. And our pro-life resource tonight is a copy of Dr. Teresa Burke's book, Forbidden Grief, The Unspoken Pain of Abortion. And this book is such a foundational work. It's been out for a number of years, and so some of the research isn't absolutely the most current research, although Dr. Burke has stayed very current in the literature and in the peer-reviewed journals. And she's been a guest on our program. If you'll go to cradlemyheart.org, you can find the podcasts with her comments about her colleagues and about how woefully inadequate the mental health response has been to abortion and how it has been politicized. But if you'd like to get a copy of the book, it still remains extremely helpful in terms of knowing the dynamics, the emotional aftermath of abortion, and the spiritual challenges that women face as well. And as you may know, if you're familiar with Dr. Burke's work, she's the founder of the Rachel's Vineyard Retreat, which is now an international outreach to help women and men. After women, men, couples, all sorts of people have attended Rachel's Vineyard Retreats. But she started this outreach when she was doing a residency with an eating disorders group and noticed that many of the women, I think 6 of 8 women in the group, had expressed that they had had an abortion. She wanted to see, well, is there a connection between abortion and eating disorders? And that research was forbidden. They said that that's not what you're here to do. You're here to help them with their eating disorders. And she determined that she was going to find out on her own And the book, Forbidden Grief, as well as the Rachel's Vineyard Ministry, are the result of the work that she, as a clinical psychotherapist, undertook when she found that abortion was problematic in the lives of her clients. 1-800-811-3003 if you'd like to receive a copy of Dr. Burke's book. And let's go to the phones and say hi to Kathy. And Kathy, welcome to Cradle My Heart. It's so nice to talk with you tonight. Thanks for joining us.
Hi.
Hi. Go right ahead. What's on your mind?
Well, this happened quite a few years ago, and I don't know if it's possible to happen again, but I went into a women's clinic and found out I was pregnant, and they talked to me about having an abortion, and they spent about 3 hours trying to convince me to have an abortion, and finally I said, no, I don't want to have it. And they took me in this room, and they laid me down on a table, said they were going to examine me, and they put like a gas mask over my face and essentially drugged me, and I was still awake, but they did it. They did the abortion.
Wow. Had you made a payment to them, or you had just dropped in? I mean, had you had any other connection other than this lengthy meeting?
Well, I thought it was real possible for me to be pregnant, and one of the people that I worked for contacted them and said they'd send a check with me in case I decided to have it.
Mm.
So they took the check, and when I went in, and I was pretty young, and so I guess I was 19. But from that point on, the one thing that happened with me,
Kathy, I just the reason I asked that, and this, it's a really interesting answer. The reason I asked that is that I've heard from many women who changed their minds and tried to leave, that if they had made payment, that the abortion provider continued against their wishes because there's a no refund policy. And so it sounds like that's very much what happened in your case as well. And it's hard to believe when you hear a story like that for the first time, but I've heard it repeatedly through the years. And now you're telling us pretty much the same thing, that they had your money. And so they were determined to do what they were going to do. So I'm sorry to have interrupted you, but I think it was important to stress that. So,
oh, that's fine.
Yeah, please go on.
Well, and the one thing that happened after that, because I did struggle, I had problems, and when I went into to an emergency room and told them what it was from, they said they couldn't help me. And of course, this was 30 some years ago. So, and I tried other doctors, and they didn't want to have anything to do with it. Finally, my grandmother's doctor, she didn't know what had happened to me, but she just was appalled that doctors wouldn't see me. So I got in and saw him, and there was swelling. Anyhow, that I had not been saved. I was not churched very well. I had two children of my own about 5 years later, my first son, and then I had another son. And after they got born, I started seeking to go to church to raise them, knowing the Lord. And I guess it really wore on me. I kept reading the Bible and trying to find a church to go to. And I just really felt that if I didn't get my kids into church, my guilt came upon me like this. The Lord's going to take your children because you took his children. And when I got into church, I had researched a church, and I went in and I asked them what their church was like. And I went in that next Sunday, which was a few days later. I prayed and asked the Lord into my heart. And within me, my spirit, my soul, I guess I would say more specific, for each abortion that I had had, cried out 2,000 times, forgive me, in the matter of a second. And I remember saying, Jesus, forgive me, 2,000 times for each child I had aborted. And about 10 years later, after being saved and knowing that Jesus forgave me and he poured his love into my heart, I realized God doesn't give you what you can't handle. And I believe that he took the memory of an abortion away from me. I couldn't remember it. And then it came to me as I think I was strong enough to handle it. And I realized that God's forgiveness was so great and so big that that day I asked Jesus the 2,000 times to forgive me for each abortion, which was two other times, that he forgave me. And but I knew his forgiveness was so great and so full that the one that was hidden from my memory, I was still forgiven for that, even though I didn't ask for it when I was first saved.
Sure.
And I knew
well,
I was.
Kathy, we've got to go to a break. Hold on, please, so we can hear the remainder of the story. And I thank you for opening it up, opening up your heart and sharing it with us. We do have to take a break, so hold on. This is Cradle My Heart Radio, and our phones are open tonight at 1-800-811-3003. The question we're asking is, if you've had an abortion, was there a need for you for absolution from an authority figure in the church? 1-800-811-3003. Join us with your story.
A safe place to connect with others. Finding God's love after abortion. Cradle My Heart Radio with Kim Cattola. Call toll free at 800-811-3003. Seeking to help others find God's love after abortion. Cradle My Heart Radio with Kim Cattola. Call toll free at 800-811-3003.
Our phones are open, and we have a copy of Dr. Teresa Burke's book, Forbidden Grief, The Unspoken Pain of Abortion, for all of our callers tonight. It's a great resource. It helps you understand the emotional toll that abortion takes and the reasons why, as well as the spiritual issues that may be involved. And there's a great appendix to the book called The Politics of Trauma. And one of the things that Dr. Burke says, and I think this is so important, is that, you know, our society has a love-hate relationship with victims, an empathize-despise relationship, she says more accurately. The attitude is stop being a victim, get over it, take responsibility for your own life. But the study of psychological trauma has repeatedly been hampered by this combination of suspicion and impatience with victims. And she says it arises in part because many causes of trauma arise from failures of society to protect its members. Looking at the causes of trauma forces us to look at the flaws in our society, which we're loath to do. And in addition, when the strong traumatize the weak, the strong will naturally deny their victims' stories, accuse them of lying or exaggeration, and insist that their problems arise from their own deeply flawed personalities. Wow, if that just doesn't say it. You know, feminists who have been intellectually honest like Camille Paglia have said, abortion is murder. Oppression of the weak by the strong. Women do it because they can. That's why they went to get the right. That's why they went to the Supreme Court to get the right, because they can. And it's absolutely another human being involved, which makes it traumatic in each and every case, whether or not it was physically taxing and whether or not you realized it at the time. Anytime we're present for the death of another human being, there's trauma involved. And Dr. Burke does a wonderful job of not only affirming that, not to make you a victim, not to celebrate being a victim, but to show you the pathway out and to show you the healing journey that's possible, that's available to us as we walk this path of faith in Jesus Christ and end the isolation by sharing our stories. It's a big part of the reason that the radio station you're listening to has given the airtime to this program, because they think it's important. And there are so few places for women and men to do this. 1-800-811-3003 is our number. And Kathy, before the break, was sharing her story and about confession and how it was such a deep and meaningful part of your journey after abortion. Kathy, please continue with your story. And we've got maybe 3 minutes for you to share, and then we're going to have to wrap it up. So please continue.
Well, I confessed to the Lord. I didn't have anybody in the church except for that was tied up in the moment that I asked Christ into my heart. And his love poured into my heart and even into the deep recesses that I forgot I had or didn't even know I had. And but it is true. It was a confession of faith. And it was a confession of to the Lord. And there have been, on a couple occasions, especially in medical, I thought some of the issues that I had after the abortion was due to maybe an allergic reaction to the gas he gave me. And I explained it to a surgeon what had happened because I was due for a surgery, and I ended up sharing the Lord with that surgeon, and I had heard you just before you came back to me about how sometimes when people hear your story, they feel sorry for you, but there is also, if you tell the story in truth, some people just have a hard time believing you that that actually happened, and I don't walk around telling people this story. It happened 30 years ago. I've probably told 5 people about this, really close to me. And, they look at you sideways like, yeah, that couldn't have really happened. It's like, yeah, it did. And I don't know how it is right now, but, you know, getting the money thing when you said that really rang true with me. They already had the money. And, back then it was a check form, but they had the check. And so they did bully me and force it on me. And but I thank Jesus for his full forgiveness. And I do know that I did murder someone. I do know that I made that choice. And but I do know my Lord, and I do know that he forgives. And he has cleansed me from that, and I have strength in him over that. I don't beat myself up because I believe the truest form of worship is believing what Jesus said. And when he carried that on the cross, when he was on the cross, he knew what I had done, and he forgave me. And I think one of the truest acts of faith is to believe that Jesus forgives. And it's not an excuse or a get-out-of-jail-free card.
It's the good news, right? Absolutely.
Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah. Well,
Go ahead.
I was going to say, sometimes, you know, people say, oh, you can't really be forgiven, or your conscience tries to tempt you into, you know, giving up on the Lord. No, it's like, no, it is finished, and he has carried it. He has paid for it, and I love my Lord, and I don't know what I could do if I didn't have that forgiveness. I don't know how women function without that forgiveness, if they really stopped and thought about it.
Right. Well, Kathy, we are out of time now, but do not hang up. Stay on the line so that off the air we can get the address where we can send you a copy of Forbidden Grief. I thank you for sharing the gospel with us tonight, because what you've heard Kathy say is true. It is the good news. We are forgiven in Jesus Christ. You know, abortion is the intentional killing of an innocent human being, and therefore it's morally wrong. Many of us acted out of ignorance. Many of us had the choice taken from us. How God will judge us is entirely in his hands, but the minute we stop evading our accountability in it is the minute that Christ's forgiveness can become real and the repentance can work that godly sorrow that leads to a complete change of heart, a complete change of heart and mind. And I pray that you will experience it, because as Kathy said, it's what we need after abortion. Thank you so much for being with us, and plan to join us each week. We've got a great lineup of guests coming up the remainder of the summer. You can always find out what to expect each week on our weekly broadcast at cradlemyheart.org, and you'll find our daily broadcasts of Cradle My Heart Today blogged there, with a special scripture and a devotional message for you each day, especially if an unplanned pregnancy has been part of your story. Regardless of the outcome, you will find yourself somewhere in your story as we present the stories that Cradle My Heart Today. I'm Kim Cattola, your host. So blessed and glad that you're able to spend time with us tonight. Please be with us again next week. And remember, Jesus loves you, and so do we.